I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Kino from Hospital Records, whose new album, I Live, I Learn, is going to be released on November 27th. Kino, how excited are you for the world to hear your new music?
Very excited. It's been a long time coming for me. It's felt like a long time. Although the time itself has passed quite quickly. It's been 3 years since the last album that was on Med School. And then between that last album being released and now Med School closed and I moved over to hospital and there's been lots of drama going on. So it's been great to like get the album sorted, get the pre-masters done, get the masters done, and finally move on to actually launching the album. Obviously, it's not ideal with no clubs to play the album in, but I am confident because my music itself is it's not just suited to the dance floor. So I hope that people at home, if they're stuck in lockdown or if they're stuck in another kind of lockdown in a different country, will still be able to enjoy it in the way it's kind of intended, you know.
Yeah, completely. Let's start with the title track. We hear breathy, airy vocals that lead into piano keys and cinematic strings, and then we hear the title, I Live, I Learn. What inspired the album?
The album itself wasn't conceived as a whole. The album kind of came about over a process of writing 20, 30, 40, 50 tunes and then picking the best ones and then kind of going back in on them and writing them in such a way that they flow together more seamlessly. As a result of that, the album title track emerged quite late in the process. The track itself was started probably in the middle of 2018 as a bit of fun, really, because the vocalist on that track, you see my neighbour, she lived below me in the flat that me and my partner used to live in. I heard her singing through the walls one morning, so I was like, I didn't know that person downstairs could sing. And a few months passed, we got to know the neighbour better, and I found out that she doesn't sing for a living, she doesn't officially have an artist name at that point. And I was just like, okay, well, why don't you come up and just have a day in the studio with me? I've got a few tracks like ready to go that you can just kind of mess around with if you want. We kind of got in the studio together, and she felt a little bit uncomfortable at first because she's not really using in a recording environment. It's more like a jamming environment for her with bands or with other musicians to play off. So she kind of felt a bit disorientated at first. I left the track kind of running on loop and then left her to it in hope that she might, you know, just kind of get vibing and feel a bit more comfortable. I came back 15 minutes later after secretly recording her, and she'd nailed the track.
You mentioned earlier how, you know, you don't need to listen to it in a club setting to enjoy the music. With your new single, which has just been released, Seven Summers and Sunflowers as well, I felt like it's perfect Sunday afternoon listening music.
Yeah, that's the goal. There's so much breadth and depth in drum and bass now. You can really go any which way you desire. So there's no reason why you can't write a drum and bass tune that has energy and still works on the dance floor, and yet you can stick it on a Sunday when you're feeling a bit sore and it still is enjoyable, you know?
Yeah, 100%. It does seem like you really enjoyed making the album, which is quite a nice, you know, nice thing to like see in an artist. You collaborated with lots of artists that we've heard before, like Etherwood, Thomas Oliver, but then there's some new ones which listeners of drum and bass might not be as familiar with, like Ptolemaic and Obsol. How is it? How do you feel the creative process is, you know, collaborating with others?
So in the past, my albums have pretty much been solo ventures. I've not worked with many other producers, save, you know, Winey, and a few others. So in this project, I was really eager to reach out to other producers and to get different styles and different inspirations on the album that I could kind of work into my orchestral sound. So that the album had more variation and kind of had a more of a storyline, as it were. If it was all dense orchestral textures and there weren't as many vocals or other kind of sounds coming in on a hospital album, I think people would kind of end up skipping through those tracks. Whereas if I was to do that on Med School, because it's on a Med School, the Med School label was kind of aimed at that kind of more left field stuff, I felt a bit more confident putting, you know, more dense orchestral music out there. This album, The Hospital, it was much more about being diverse and being inclusive in the way that I work with other people and opening my mind to different ways of working. So in the case of Telomic, I'm all good friends with these people. That's the main thing, really. Like, I make music with my friends. I don't like making music for, I don't know, social reach or to access a particular market. That's not my motivating factor here. It's to make music with people who like making music in the same way I do, you know? So Telomic was one of those guys. And Obsell is another one. He actually lives a mile away from me, just across the way in Bristol. And he is an old school junglist. He's been to all the raves in the late 80s, early 90s. And he has an extensive vinyl collection, and he absolutely loves his breakbeats. So I had to get him involved on a track that is a standout track in the context of the album. But if you've heard everything else that I'm writing at the moment, you'll probably get it a bit more.
Yeah, that track really caught my attention as well, because it does stand out from the rest of the album. You know, I'd say the album on the whole is quite, you know, like I wouldn't say light, but you know, a bit more like positive and optimistic, you know, looking at like the best parts of life and stuff. Fear is obviously, you know, very contrasting to that. What was the origin, like what were you trying to put forward to the listeners?
I guess, to be honest, mate, I was just having fun with that track. me and Lester, aka Obsell, we were just sat in the studio together last year. It was shortly after Hospitality on the Beach last year. And we kind of came back after listening to a D-Bridge set together on the beach, and we were like, well, it'd be nice to be able to make some tunes that we don't really have to think about, like, the compositional side of it, or the you know, musical side too deeply. We can just have fun with the breaks and the bass sounds and just go mental on the sound design. And it kind of just got a little out of hand, so we had to tame it back a bit for the final version. But yeah, it's good fun just to have a tear out track, you know, and it's different to what you expect a Kino track to drop. Like, it kind of starts like a dark Kino track, and then it just kind of gets darker and darker and darker, and then more energetic. So I like that, and it's a nice climax of the album.
You were under med school for your previous three albums, and in your last album, Cosmic Creeper was the, you know, climactic fit, the finish, the ending track for the album. Very like probably the most cinematic track of the album, and I feel like it's quite similar with the so-called Impossible, which, you know, it really brings the album to a close. Was what do you think is like important for an ending track of an album?
For me, basically every ending track that I've ever put on an album has two different drops. So in the case of Life Cycle, I put Moonrise at the end, and that has basically just two tunes. And then if you go to the last album, Med School, Shimmering Things, Cosmic Creeper, there's two drops that are like very different in energy, and then it has a long outro. And then finally, when you come to this fourth album on Hospital, again, there's two completely different drops and an outro that kind of leaves you in a settled place, rather than kind of feeling like, oh, the album's ended. It's kind of like, oh, that was nice. I want to give people a positive feeling when they close and finish that chapter, rather than leaving them feeling a bit, you know, unsettled or anything like that. It's nice to be able to just close that chapter and leave them feeling positive at the end of that experience.
Yeah, we're chatting a few weeks before the album is released. How does the wait as an artist feel for the world to hear your music?
Considering how much other stuff has been going on recently, it's kind of just crept up on me, to be honest. It's nice knowing that there's something in the diary that you can be grateful for and be excited for. And it's also really good knowing that there's something to work towards, even though the work's kind of already been done in a way. In terms of the weight and stuff like that, I've been quite lucky this year in so much as I've had other music coming out between January and the album. By the time the album's out, there'll be more than 20 Kino tracks on Hospital in 2020. actually. That's quite a lot of Kino tracks. I know that there were none for 3 years, basically, so kind of felt like it was time to get as much of that content out there as I could whilst I, you know, felt it was right. And I'm really happy with the result. The feedback so far from the tracks leading up to the album and from artists that I've sent the new album to has been great. And it just believes that the album itself is going to be a great success. And I can only hope that other people like it, really.